Blog Talk Radio.
And the collective wisdom. My name is Kate Loving Shank, and I am the host of the show. Astrology's astrologer, aka Sheila Odette, is my guest this evening. She has some astrological insight into the Casey Kaleigh Anderson situation through the lens of astrology. Diana Sawyer had Stacey Dugard on her show the other night, and Stacey was kidnapped and held captive for many years without seeing the light of day. I am sure her ability to resiliently rise above her circumstances could teach all of us a thing or two. The call-in number is 347-205-9207. Joining me now is Sheila Odette. Hello, dear Sheila.
Hi, Kate. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Fine.
Is that really what we are?
No, I'm not going to say it on the radio. I'm going to try. Okay.
So I think we all would like to know a thing or two about this thing because it's been kind of driven into the ground and people are tired of it. But on the other hand, it's kind of weird how, in my opinion, since I know so little about it, but saw a little bit on the TV the other night with a patient of mine, how the mother got off scot-free. I don't quite get that.
Well, you know, I'm going to look at it this way. I mean, I was reading through some of the blogs today when I was going, you know, I was reading, you know, about the judgment and why did this jury not find her guilty and all of these kind of things. And I thought that basically, you know, we are here looking our perception of reality is from the human reality of something and punishment.
Yeah.
And I think that the esoteric, the other side, the vortex of love, looks at it in another way. And when I look at a chart, I think that each soul comes here to experience something, to learn something, and to teach us something. Every single chart I look at, I think of it that way. And somebody asked me today, well, aren't you going to read those? And I said, no, I'm not really going to read those because, you know, then I would like to come from another point, a point. I do not know because basically, you know, experience always trumps assumption. So that's why I say, you know, if you've not been addicted to alcohol or drugs or something, you're not a good counselor because you've never had the you've never had the experience. And you don't know what it feels like to be high. And you don't know what it feels like to be drunk. And you don't know what that pull is what I'm saying. So
right.
So that's why I always say that, you know, for a counselor, experience really trumps assumption. You can make all kinds of assumptions and all kinds of, you know, critique. And I just saw the on television right before I came on this whole polygamy, you know, thing about men having all these wives. And I sat there and looked at it, and I said, well, everybody really looks happy.
Yeah.
And if it making them happy, why is it our business?
Nevertheless, I agree with – I'm going to play devil's advocate here because in,
that's
in
your
the
job.
World – you know, I'm a nurse, and that's not first and foremost by any means. But as a nurse, we hang out with lots of different scenarios in society, and I do see the police – the juries, the policemen, we as nurses hang out with the firemen, the policemen, you know, this is
true.
And so in a lot of ways, I'm still in a world that deals with guilt, and it's not really that loving. But on the other hand, I still don't understand why this woman did not get a sentence, because
you'd like to know, like, that astrologically?
Yeah, let's look at it from astrologically. I would even like to know why the courts didn't see that she was guilty. But
they could not
find. Wait. But on the other hand, astrology is probably the reason why. So go ahead.
Well, they could not, first of all, in the human sense, they could not tie a piece of evidence to her because the body had decomposed for 31 days. And they couldn't prove that really the stuff in the trunk was a human body. So they had one piece of hair, which they couldn't really do one piece of hair because, of course, the child was in the car and her toys were in the trunk, you know. So they couldn't tie that in, and then the defense mucked it all up by saying it was a drowning and that she was abused, and you know, the jury can sit there and you can say don't listen to that, but after all, they're human beings, and they heard it. I mean, they heard that she could drown and that they were trying to cover it up, and I mean, but even regardless of all that, one thing I agree with you on, my grandson, who is 9, was missing in Kmart for 10 minutes, and I went crazy last week.
Now, wouldn't you have asked the authorities to help you?
Yeah, come on, what... That is the thing. What in our human reality, what mother? I mean, I remember we were at a festival and my son John was little and he got separated from us and we were on the loudspeaker all over the fair.
Absolutely.
Immediately. So he was sitting down by the lake and somebody found him, and one of my dancers actually was at this and found him, and he said, "Why'd you get lost?" "I'm just at the water," you know. But the point of what I'm saying is, the point that you have a hard time with is going out dancing and partying and get a tattoo on your body. This is the highlight life, and you know that is really kind of a telling thing. But that
is not
evidence. You see what I mean?
No, that's not even. I can understand if she's drug addicted and an alcoholic, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, that she would, the first thing anybody like that would, not like that, but anybody who has an addiction would do would be to try to forget about and deny it. But there are certain things that stand out that don't add up in the realm of common sense with this case. And one of them would be to wait 31 days before consulting the authorities and thinking that you have the ability to conduct your own investigation, which
let's be perfectly clear. She did not tell the authorities her mother did. She did not get the mother, her mother, then reported it to the authority. I want to tell you, if either one of my sons would have been missing more than 2 hours.
Like 10
my mother,
minutes.
My mother would have been on it.
Yes. What was the mother's reasoning for waiting 31 days? I'm just out of curiosity.
Well, I couldn't find the mother's chart. I'm sure that it's going to come up somewhere, but I couldn't find that, and I couldn't find the father's chart or the brother's chart, and they are messing this all. They messed it all up with that she was sexually abused, and that the child could be the father's or the brother's. I mean, they just muddied the water so much that. Anyway, I just want to say. When you're dealing with a mutable sign, which is, you know, Pisces here, her sun is in Pisces, and everybody goes, Pisces are just, you know, perfectly loving and perfectly. You have to look at Mercury is conjunct the sun in Pisces. They're only 5 degrees apart, and Mercury is retrograde in the birth chart of Casey Anthony. So, you know, I looked at this chart, and if I didn't know her, I would go, consummate liar.
Yeah.
I would go, and the thing is that a Pisces, in a moment, can make you feel sorry for them, no matter
mm-hmm.
what.
Mm-hmm.
And they can play the hero or they can play the victim in a heartbeat, in one
mm-hmm.
heartbeat. So she sat through the trial with her little white buttoned-up shirt and no makeup and the ponytail. But the minute the verdict came in, the next day when she was being sentenced, she walked in with a sweater on, full makeup, hair down, smiled and winked.
To whom did she wink?
Well, I don't know which she winked. She winked. They got it on camera. And
yeah.
I thought, well, that was not such a smart move. She should have came in looking the same way she looked.
The same way, yeah.
So, of course, then she, you know, the sentence was that she lied to the police, and that was about the 31 days and then lying, you know, about the babysitter and all that. That's what, and I mean, she's going to be out tomorrow. What it is, tomorrow is the 13th or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So she has Mercury conjunct the Sun in Pisces, and that is in the Scorpio house. Now, when you're saying the Scorpio environment, no matter if another sign, and it's hard to explain in astrology, even if Pisces is on that house cusp, the houses still have the feeling of their natal being, which means
mm-hmm.
it's an environment. Scorpio is an environment where there can be deception, okay, deceit, and all of that kind of stuff. And she has Venus in Aries in that house. So Venus in Aries is, you know, it can fly off in a moment. It can fall in love in a moment. It can do whatever Venetianly that it wants in a moment. But it is pretty self-centered, okay?
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty around the needs of self. Now, she has the moon in Cancer in the 11th house. Now, what we call in astrology a kite is a grand trine, 120-degree, three trine, and then two sextiles that come together, which make the top of the kite, okay, which are 60 degrees. So so it comes out that it looks just like a kite. And the top of the kite, and then the tail comes out in the moon in Cancer. So a kite really flies above everything. Okay, it can
mm-hmm.
it can fly, and then it can be pulled in. Now, the moon in Cancer is exalted. So everybody that ever saw her, the boyfriends, the girlfriends, they said she was a good mother. They said,
mm-hmm.
you know, they never witnessed any kind of abuse, as she always, you know. So that's really interesting. But what the moon in Cancer would do with this kite would be pull this kite down and, like,
mm-hmm.
stop it from flying.
Mm-hmm.
And so in this case, it's not, it could be malefic. It could be a malefic thing. Now,
malefic?
Malefic means, you know, it could be a bad aspect, even
okay.
though it could be a great aspect. And, I mean, this chart could be this whole chart could be a glorious soul if you look at it one way, and then if you look at it another way, you know, that's a mutable chart is like that. You know, Pisces, Gemini, Sagittarius.
Sure.
So then she has Saturn, Uranus, Mars, all in Sagittarius. Now, Saturn rules the courtroom. Saturn in Sagittarius, you know, it rules justice. Sagittarius
mm-hmm.
then somehow can get above human justice. It cannot get above spiritual justice because Sagittarius really is the ninth house realm, the realm of the other side. So
mm-hmm.
she has Uranus in Sag, too. And Uranus and Sag, you know, I mean, James Arthur Ray doubled Sagittarius to get off the subject. Well, not really. I said he was getting off. His moon, Saturn in Sagittarius, you know, the legal system, and the moon in Sagittarius, the moon coming into the sun, and he got three counts of negligent homicide, which means he can get out or he can
mm-hmm.
get 12 years.
And let's discuss quickly the James Arthur Ray case and you know, the Sweat Lodge deaths. When was that? My gosh, a few years ago by now.
It was about 3 years ago. And
he was star of The Secret, and it became apparent that he just got crazed with power, in my opinion.
Well, the moon and sun in Sagittarius can get crazed with power. I mean, they just can get crazed with power. And the point is that he is going to get, you know, I don't know if the three counts of negligent homicide is 0 to 12 on each one or 0 to 12 that he can get altogether. He's not been sentenced yet. Michael Hamilton, the one that owned Angel Valley Ranch, they were exonerated. The people that that they were going after, they settled with him after they saw the trial. Now, again, if you put the two cases together, you would say the same as you would say about Casey Anthony, 31 days of frolicking. You would say, looking in a tent and seeing people in a sweat lodge laying on the ground and saying, let's do another round, would be almost like the same thing.
Yeah.
How could you do that? And then when somebody comes and says, we can't get these people out, he says, well, you can't enter that place. It's a spiritual place.
He's really messed up. I mean,
yeah.
The thing is about little Kelly Anderson, and I feel that she is lost.
Well, I think that Kelly Anderson only came here to do this. I looked at her chart, and when you see a chart with as few aspects as she has in this chart, she hardly has any aspects. She's also her sun is at 16 degrees of Leo. She's a Leo. Mercury and Leo, Saturn and Leo, all in the 12th house.
Oh, my goodness.
12th house is a mysterious lesson. 12th house is okay. And then when her son, she was only three, when her son moved to the ascendant was when this happened. So, and the sun basically in Leo shines on everything. So the entire world for some reason got tuned into this case.
Yeah.
It was the drama, the center drama. So when you look, and then she has Moon in Libra and Jupiter in Libra.
Mm-hmm.
So you, okay, what did this soul, unbeknownst of that she's lost or whatever happened, what did this soul, if you really look at it from an esoteric point of view, in compassion and kindness, which is that was what for me what religion really is, what did she volunteer to do?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because the moon in Libra is about balance. The moon in Libra is about somehow, and Jupiter in Libra, it's about major balance. It's about balance in the world. And this whole case has come up here in this whole realm of balancing out in a different, you know, in a different way that we're starting. I mean, we're in the communication. I mean, you know, who doesn't have a cell phone? Who doesn't have, you know, can get information in 1 second? You know, I was at the computer just doing a touch of the button, and I went, this is amazing, you know? Information that would take you to the library and looking and, you know, and calling. I mean, we're not any longer at 6 degrees of separation. We are like 2 degrees of separation.
Maybe even one.
Yeah, and everybody. Now, granted that this sun, the interesting thing is, you know, her Saturn is in Leo. Now, the fire sign of retrograde of Casey Anthony. Now, interestingly, Casey Anthony was born with Mercury retrograde, Saturn retrograde, Pluto retrograde, all of these things retrograde. So this is a volunteer lifetime of these two people for a lesson of some great magnitude about, you know, the justice system. Do I know exactly what that is? I don't know. This chick could write a book tomorrow, and they couldn't put her away. I mean, they can't try her over again. And
yeah. No, the thing is, when I said that Kaylee Anderson was lost, I really meant her mother, because I'm confusing the two of them.
Well, it's Kaylee and Casey. I mean,
Casey. Casey Anthony, right? Not Anderson. Casey Anthony seems to be lost. Does that show up? I mean, I think that she is lost.
Well, I think, you know, Saturn, Uranus, Mars. I think she's going to be a millionaire.
Oh.
If somebody doesn't shoot her because she has Mars and Sagittarius.
That's what my patient said. My patient said that she would definitely be shot. there must be, this must be riling up the right wing like no, nothing else ever has. And, you know, it's.
So then the right wing has to be riled up. I mean,
Yeah, but they're always riled up. What the heck? This is just one little more excuse to get all hateful and go out and kill somebody. I mean, really, you know, when it comes to little children, though, they tend to just about, you know, an abortion and all this and that, it just gets crazy. So,
well,
I mean, I hope that she'll
cancer.
Now, why would she become a millionaire by doing...
you know that they're coming in with offers. These lawyers that took this case, they're going to be like the O.J. Simpson lawyers now.
Well,
I mean,
they said something like that. Yeah, there's a correlation between...
They took
Simpson
this case. She probably had no money to pay them. They took this case for to build their law practice. That's what they took this case.
I mean, how could you predict that something like this would be so big?
Had it been a black child, had it been a Spanish child, had it been an ethnic child, this never would have been this big.
Oh,
a white child in a regular neighborhood, a Caucasian white, in a, so to speak, family that, you know, was... However, they said there was a lot... You know, when she got pregnant, nobody knew she was pregnant. And every time they said she was getting heavy, they said, no, she's not pregnant. The brother didn't even know she was pregnant. So when he got on the stand, he had said he had no idea she was pregnant. So this is a family of secrets. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah, and there's a lot of ambivalence about the pregnancy to begin with.
Yeah. Who's, you know, and... but, you know, and then again... her progressed moon was at 17 degrees of Gemini, Casey Anthony's by progression. That moon in Gemini, it could have went every way. Gemini's trickery. Gemini can trick you. Gemini's great skill. Gemini's tennis players, but also Gemini. I mean, you know, President Obama has the moon in Gemini. So, I mean, when you look at the moon in Gemini and you go, you know, just that one, you know, the things that come out just at the right moment for him are very interesting. You know, the information.
That's true, too.
Yeah.
Everybody seems to think one thing about what he's doing, meaning President Obama, and he does seem to come forth with surprises. I mean, everybody now thinks that he's just I even think that he's pandering with the Republicans at the expense of Democratic ideals. But I consider the possibility that that's not true. I mean, that he will come forth with some, that he'll save Social Security and Medicare, let's put it that way.
No, please. Please.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm also saying, again, about experience Trump's assumption. I mean, we're not there. We're not in the job. Whatever it looks like from outside, I guess it looks altogether from inside.
When you look at the Kennedy years and what happened there, and the brave steps that President Kennedy took to bring peace to the world, and look what happened to him.
Robert.
I think... And so everybody else in that decade, it just goes to show that you'd have to really have to be very brave to take on that job. And
the Pisces was left to take care of everything. Isn't that interesting?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the Pisces was left, and then he had to go through that whole Chappaquiddick thing. And if you knew the inside story on that, I always say, man, I wonder, you know?
You would think somebody would know that inside story, and nobody really seems to know. Very odd, very odd.
Well, it's interesting, the day of the sentencing, the moon, you always look at astrology, the verdict came in, and the moon was at 14 degrees of Sag, was laid on top of the Saturn, Uranus, Mars, the whole Sagittarian's Jupiterian thing. And it hit right there. The moon was there when she was sentenced. so you go, okay. Astrology is very, very interesting. And the Mercury was 15 degrees of Leo, which put it on top of Kaylee's son. So the child wanted her to be exonerated. The child,
Well, of course. Yeah, that makes sense.
And you know, I don't think probably, I don't know if we'll ever know what happened. It could have been a moment of, I mean, with this chart, with Saturn, Uranus, Mars, and Sagittarius, as I can say, I will say, with a progressed sun in Aries, there can and there could be a moment of rage that just went out of hand. You know?
Nobody had ever seen her have moments of rage, which is interesting.
Well, if she killed this child, you know the child saw one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you know. And interesting enough, the child has Pluto in Sagittarius retrograde. That is a major, and that lands again right on top of the Uranus in Sag, which means a moment of complete out-of-control rage.
I guess it does. So something like that must have happened, because astrology really does never lie.
Well, and yes, but interpretation does.
Yeah. Well, you hesitate to say with great authority that, yes, she had a moment of rage and killed the child, because it's really not, we're not judges and we're not God. So I understand. I wouldn't want to do that either, even if I secretly thought so.
Well, Kaylee also had the North Node in Aries and the South Node in Libra. And the connection to this planet, I always go with the North Node in Aries. I think she's just a really ancient soul. I mean, with this Saturn in Leo and Mercury in Leo. And interestingly enough, her Mercury was retrograde too. You look at excitation when you're comparing charts, what is alike. And both of their... So when you see two Mercury retrogrades like that, it's that there's a plan before you come in.
Yes.
There is something that you're coming in for to clear up, but also to teach the world and have the world experience. And they certainly did that. I mean, there's no way they didn't do that. Moving on to J.C. Dugard, I saw this child on television.
Mm-hmm.
I have never been more blown away by the maturity. I mean, Diane Sawyer was trying to take her in the interview toward, you know, what they do. Weren't you sad? Weren't you this? The child just maintained her composure.
Mm-hmm. How old is she?
How old is she now?
Yes.
Well, I guess she was born May the 3rd, 1980. So she's in her
30s. Yeah.
So, but she was... her chart is fascinating because she has the moon at 29 degrees of Sag, 16. Now, there's 3 degrees in a sign. And here we're dealing with Sagittarius again. Get it?
Higher
learning for the human race, moon in Sag. So she was taken away from her home and her mother. Sagittarius, by definition, when you see it, almost 9 out of 10 times, there is some kind of separation from the environment, some kind of separation from the mother. Whether
how old was she? How old was she? When she
11
was
when she was 11. So, and she also has in the 12th house Neptune in Sagittarius. So retrograde. There's the 12th house lesson again. Now, when you see a moon at 29 degrees of Sag, we call that void of course. We call that out of the realm of human experience in some way, that people will say, how did that ever happen, and how did the, that's what the lesson is. The lesson is about endurance. Terry Goodkind's book, when I saw this child and I read all about her, it's called The Wizard Rule. It's a whole series of books, and that's all I could think about. He goes through this kind of torture, you know, and endures and comes out and becomes a king. But it's this kind of chart And she has, the endurance part is she has Sun at 13 degrees of Taurus with Chiron on top of that. Now, Chiron is the key. Chiron is always the key to that key in there that she knew she was going to get out someday.
Uh-huh.
Now, you're a nurse, and she's 14 years old all by herself when she gave birth to that baby.
Aw.
And, you know, someone was talking to me today and said to me, well, you know, children don't experience that like anybody else, they get through it. I said, come on.
No.
You're 14 years old and you're in a tent and in unsanitary conditions completely, and you're giving birth to a baby and not knowing how you're going to care for it, how you're going to take care of it with these maniacs. But she said the child helped her endure. The child was, she knew that somebody was there to be with her, you know? And then she had another child 2 years later, and she was saying that, you know, she wasn't allowed out until after the second child. Can you imagine? They came to that house 60 times, and not until these two female policemen came. Hello? And they came to check. And the one called the other one up and said, there's something wrong there. A woman's intuition, okay? There's something wrong there. And they are the ones, these two women are the ones that finally got her freed. But again, you have this chart where there's only one T-square in the chart. Again, hardly any aspects. I found from doing thousands of charts that people that have the biggest lessons have less aspects in the chart. They're purposeful. It's like you have a finger of God. It's almost like whatever it is, it's like a finger of God that they're here to teach a major, you know, a major lesson, a major kind of lesson to people. So this Moon and Venus and the Saturn is the apex of this Saturn in Virgo. So Saturn in Virgo means mentally, physically, emotionally, and if Glyph turns in spiritually, this child had to maintain and be her own disciplinarian and be a mother to these children, and also learn how to deal with these maniacs and stay alive. And you know, some of the psychobabble, whatever, were on television going, well, she went through the syndrome of, you know, you get this syndrome where you, I don't feel that about her. I feel that she was very conscious and very aware of the situation somehow. And I think one of the lessons of this is, and the mother is very rageful. And I just thought it was beautiful because JC said, I will not give that man one moment of power to be rageful. He will not take another moment of my life from me.
Oh, that's something. Yeah.
And I thought, that's just pretty, some people go through, you know, but this child has gone through the maximum. But again, 14 to 16 of the fixed signs on the Uranian wheel, which is what I work with, is a PowerPoint.
Yeah,
it's like a PowerPoint, and it hits all the Aries, the zero Aries point in a Uranian wheel when you're working. So it was interesting because I did see on the blog that a lot of them said, well, there was no special stuff in the chart. The special stuff in the chart is the lack of it.
Yes,
it's the lack of the aspects that's special.
Oh, that's so strange, isn't it?
Yeah, and it's the lack of the aspects in Kaylee's. And actually, besides other than the kite, there's a lack of aspects in Casey's.
Yes, yes.
So it's almost like, you know, that they came here to do this specific thing.
To teach humanity something.
Yes, yes. So, right now, you know, JC's moon is in Aquarius, and her nodes are 22, and the moon is at 22, her secondary progression. So she's a really, you know, her book, I mean, it's going to be a really, for me, a really spiritual experience to read her book.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think, you know, because for me, I love to read books of endurance, like the,
yeah.
like woman in that one woman, you know, where they were, the tribes were killing each other, and that she kept this family in a closet behind a bureau.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, Wayne Dyer had discovered her.
Yeah,
Uganda or something. Yeah, that was where it happened, I think.
And experientially, yeah. Kinesthetically, if you can think. Of doing it,
mm-hmm.
you know, and
she was very prayerful. She went through all
yeah.
that with prayer, yeah.
And J.C. Dugard also had that same kind of peaceful countenance about her.
Mm-hmm.
And you know the other girl, the one that was taken that they found. You know what's her name? You know the one that plays the harp, the beautiful one. That they took her out of her bedroom, same kind of person took her out of the bedroom, you know. She also has that countenance about her, you know,
mm-hmm.
of being raped and actually, you know, raped and tortured and molested and maintaining, you know, it's maintaining self outside of self.
Yes.
It's okay, my body, my human body is going through this. But I'm also outside of self witnessing it.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, you know, that's really happening in the house with my friend going through cancer.
Mm-hmm.
There's that countenance. You know, there's also the human part of it, but then there's a countenance you wonder if some people just take on a lot of the pain for a lot of people.
Yeah,
that they come in and say that they're going to volunteer for that. Mm-hmm. So I, you know, the lesson I'm saying, it's for the audience to think about. We can say she got off. She didn't get off. I mean, this is
no, really, that's right, because really, there is as somebody explained to me, there's a certain karmic element that.
Mm-hmm.
That plays through everything, and so we don't know anything about what's going on and on that level.
Well, and you know, if you do workshops and you're working in workshop, shunning is the worst thing there is.
Yes,
it's worse than being locked up. You know, if you put someone in the middle of the circle and people start turning their back on them,
mm-hmm.
It takes about three or four people, but it always ends in great deal of sobbing. With the person. So
yes.
So there's, you know, O.J. Simpson. This is going to be a shunning, you know,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Of her, and you know, somebody shooting her or doing something like that, that's them.
That comes back on them.
I find
that to be equally disturbing if something like that would happen.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I just wish people would just let it go and we could
well,
move on.
You know, you know, there's a great quote that I cut out. I love that quote. Acts of betrayal are meant to teach us that we cannot control life according to our fears.
Mm-hmm.
We need to fail at creating a perfectly safe and controlled world for ourselves, because
mm-hmm.
experiences of betrayal and or failure are the means through which we are forced to examine the limits of our dependence on the rational order of the physical world.
Mm-hmm.
Although acts of betrayal can be excruciatingly painful to both the betrayed and the betrayer, the spiritual lesson and reason for these experiences is to get us to examine why we can possibly seek to maintain human order and gain physical power while mistrusting divine chaos. And that's what I think that the James Arthur Ray thing and that this trial, I think that's what it's about.
Right.
You know, divine. It's divine chaos, and
mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and the Dalai Lama at the end of a talk said to the Earth, "Why didn't you fight back against the Chinese?" And the Dalai Lama looked down and swung his little feet just a bit, and then looked back up and said with a gentle smile, "Well, war is obsolete, you know." Then,
yeah.
After a few moments, his face grave, he said, "Of course, the mind can rationalize fighting back or killing, but the heart the heart would never understand. Then you would be divided in yourself, the heart and the mind, and the war would be inside of you. So.
Yeah, yeah. I know that, you haven't. I'm going to change the subject a little bit. I imagine you haven't gotten to the movies lately, but we saw Water for Elephants. Have you heard of that? Have you read the book, probably?
I have the book on my windowsill. The book has been given to me. It's been on the windowsill for, but it's a wonderful movie, isn't it?
Did you see it?
No, girl. I didn't see it. As you said,
no,
it's
I know.
A little bit hard
it's
getting.
It's not a good time for you, but let me just say that it's really worth it. Now, I didn't know what was going to happen at all because, to me, I almost walked out in the middle of the movie.
With the abusive husband?
Yeah, because of the abuse to animals. I could care less what anybody does to humans because humans are humans. But to beat an animal is just absolutely horrible to me.
Uh-huh.
And so, but Tom says, stick around, you know, it's only a movie. So I'm glad I did because the animals went out in the end. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're glad
so,
you did.
Yeah, I mean, the elephant is one of the most wonderful things in the world. And halfway through it, the elephant had this look in her eye. And Tom and I both turned to each other and we said, Ulysses, at the same time. It was just... The elephant looks just like Ulysses. Of course, almost anything does because he's so precious.
Yes.
And then the other movie I don't think you probably, I know you probably haven't seen is Bridesmaid.
No, it's supposed to be wonderful.
Oh, my gosh. It is so, so funny.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, I think the magic of it is that anything, everything that happens in there, you can imagine could happen to anybody, including yourself. And it's realistic that way. I mean, and of course, the star of the movie, who also is wrote the screenplay, Kristen Wiig, is absolutely just wonderful and talented and great. All of them have great sense of timing, and it's almost like the old comedy of the straight man, the funny man, like the Dean Martin, Jerry Lewis days. They play that out in this one airplane scene, one like at least five or six different funny man, straight man scenes, although they're all women, and it is so hysterical that at the end of it all, you're just lying on the floor, basically. Now, not everybody likes that movie, so I won't say that everybody feels the same way that I do, but it is very, very funny, so if you ever get a chance, you must see it.
Well, the movie that I saw on television was one out of four. James Fry has the one that wrote A Million Little Pieces.
Right.
He has all these writers that he works with in New York that he has provided a space for to write. Well, this one of his writers wrote one out of four as a book, and they made it into a movie. And it was just really I thought it was wonderful because it was about nine people that come from another planet that have all these special powers. And then, you know, Steven Spielberg produced it. And, man, I just think he's an alien being that has come here to make it easier for aliens to get in touch with human beings.
Yes.
Like E.T. and Close Encounters, all those movies, you know, that you know, make it easier for, you know, us to relate to alien beings. And this one is, yeah, of course, that they're coming after them and they want to kill the all nine. And they get up to three. And then it shows when you're different. I don't know if you ever saw the movie Powder.
No, I didn't.
Oh, Powder's about an albino boy that lives in a cellar, basically. You know, oh my God, if you can bring that up and anybody can see it, that's one of the best movies that was ever made about, somebody being alienated and some compassionate holy soul that can get above it. And it has one of the most gorgeous, I'm not telling you the ending, but it has one of the most gorgeous endings I've ever seen in my life in a movie. It's still,
wow.
I can see it yet. And that it's just a phenomenal movie, and and also I will still it's since we're talking about movies, everybody should see Hereafter. Have you seen Hereafter?
That was a
Matt Damon's movie, and Clint Eastwood directed it. Never
think. Oh, I love that! I love that movie. I could see that again and again and again. I wonder if that's on Netflix yet. I bet it is.
Yeah, that was. Wasn't that a marvelous movie?
Yeah, that was well done. Oh my gosh, that was so well done.
And you know, it was really interesting because you're used to movies going at a very fast pace because that's the way we are. We're telling. Oriented, et cetera, you know? And, you know, Clint Eastwood just takes you at his pace.
Yes.
He just takes you at the pace, and then all of a sudden I just relaxed and went, okay, just take me at your pace, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it shows how people connect,
mm-hmm.
how people connect. And somebody was in here telling me about a robbery. These people out in Strasbourg Township these boys are collecting money and everything to open this. I don't know exactly what it is, but they're collecting material and they're collecting all these things to open. It's a golf course or something really beautiful for, you know, I don't know, for nonprofit and all. And someone broke into their barn and stole all the stuff. Out of the barn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is interesting in itself. This is like, you know, 6 degrees of separation. So the boy's brother delivers hay, okay? So he's going around to the farm still delivering hay, and he sees the material, the logo on this stuff, that these people have taken this stuff and laid it down for the horses to walk on. This turf. And reports it back. Isn't that interesting?
Yes, it is.
That he would just out of the blue, and all of a sudden he looked down and he took pictures of all of it.
Mm-hmm.
He
mm-hmm.
took pictures of all of it. But, you know, it's like, you know, there's a cell phone right in his hand that takes pictures.
Uh-huh. Oh, yes.
So it's really hard to get away with anything, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's like...
we're watching this, I guess, a documentary on television that was made in 1988 called The Men Who Killed Kennedy.
Oh,
and
wow.
Probably the first one of that kind. There were a lot of people out there taking pictures of that event. The Magruder film that went underground, but... they studied that to the point where they know it was not Oswald, or it wasn't even Oswald at all that killed Kennedy. And
no,
so,
it wasn't.
But if it wasn't for those films and the spontaneous pictures that were taken out there, in fact, there was this one woman who took a picture that she never took another picture again because she captured something very graphic.
What are the odds at that time of him hitting that car, that moving car, from where that was? It was almost impossible. That shot had to come from somewhere else. Reenacted that. It was an impossible shot at that time.
Oh, well, not only that, but he wasn't even a sharpshooter. And Jesse Ventura, who was a sharpshooter, used the same kind of gun to try to do the same sort of thing and couldn't do it. So, it's really, you know, ridiculous. And anybody in this day and age would think that was a one-man job. I mean, get the hell out of here.
I love you, Kate. You just get... Okay, to change the subject a bit, there was a program on television, and I don't know if you can get it on demand or whatever, but this magician went to Nepal to find this monk. Did you see that? He traveled through, and nobody would talk about this monk, and the stories that they had about the monk were that, you know, where he was, people fell over, and there was all these stories, and just, you know, stories to keep you away from hunting. So finally, he went to Sri Lanka, and a shaman then, but he was doing magic for people all over, you know, hand magic and card magic, and the people just loved him. He's so neat. So the shaman asked to see him. So the shaman said he knew where the monk was, and he said, well, no, I won't take you there. Nobody can go there. Well, the shaman had done this beautiful picture, and there was the moon in it. He said, well, if I can make this moon change in the picture, will you consider it? So he put his hand over the moon in the picture, and the moon went to a half moon. And the shaman went, that was really good. So he said he would take him. So they started tracking up into the mountains. And so they got halfway up the mountain, and he woke up the next morning, and the shaman was going down the mountain. And he said, I had a vision, and I'm not supposed to take you. So now he's on his own. So he decided to continue on this road up the mountain, and he did. And, of course, his cameramen were with him, too, you know.
Yeah.
So they get to this orange house in the middle of nowhere up in this. Oh, I was just blown. And they open the door, Kate, and everybody that's listening, and there are thousands of candles. Now, I'm going, and the candles were all like the same size. So I'm going, who lights the candles? Who takes care of the candles? How are those candles all the same size? Nobody seemed to be bothered by that but me, right? You know, from the theater,
well,
I'm like,
it's a miracle. It's a miracle.
Yeah. So he comes out, and, of course, it's a smiling little face, and he said, and he did a trick where he pulled a necklace, the magician, threw his neck and handed it, and he bowed and smiled and said that he looks like the Dalai Lama, and he smiled, you know. And he said, would you show me how you levitate? And he said, no, I can't do that. He said, if I do a trick for you or illusion, can you show me? And he just looked at him. So the moon was in the sky, and it was shining through the porthole in the, you know, in the hut. So he took his hand up and put his hand over the moon and then took his hand away, and the moon wasn't there anymore. And so the monk went, okay, I'll do it. I'll do it because you did such a beautiful thing for me. So he goes and he sits in the candles, behind the candles, and Kate, he levitated like 5 feet off the floor. And the cameramen were shooting underneath him and around him, and there were no strings, there was not anything. And there he was. I've never seen somebody actually do it before. And I was, it's called the supernaturalist, I was blown away, okay? It was just a moment. It was just a moment. And there are people that can do that.
Yes,
and
there really are.
Well,
anybody could.
Well, it was interesting because there was a teenager in the room, and I said, what do you think? And I love this, 19 years old, and Joanne's grandson, and he looked at me and he said, that's all he has to do. He said, if that's all I had to do, I bet I could do that too.
Oh my gosh! Well, that would be something. Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
that is
the
adorable,
zero
though.
Pisces moon in Aquarius. He said, if that's all I had to do, I could do that too, right?
Yeah.
But you know, I still, you know, the levitation was fabulous. But who lights a candle?
Yeah. Oh, my gosh, that's amazing.
So to end this, I would like you to guess. Rupert Murdoch is in this big mess about...
Oh, yes, thank you. I would like to hear what your astrological perspective is on...
Would you like to guess what sign Rupert Murdoch is?
What?
Go.
No, I can... Okay. Sagittarius.
No. What did I say Casey Anthony was?
She's a Pisces.
Murdoch is a Pisces.
Oh, my.
With Mercury exactly on top of his Pisces. There we go. On top of his sun. And you're partly right because his moon is in Sagittarius.
Oh, that's interesting.
So here we go again. Now, Uranus is in Aries, and Uranus just went retrograde in Aries, and that's when all this came out.
Yeah. Well, how long has he been doing this anyway?
He's been doing
wire
it.
Topping.
Oh, come on. I mean, come on.
Forever. Yeah.
You know, like I said, it's so interesting about Pisces because Pisces rules the 12th house. Pisces get away with a lot. You know, Pisces, you know, I remember Michael Luton in New York when a Pisces came to the door and came in and looked at this victim at him and said, oh, I'm a Pisces. I couldn't find my way here. And he said, yeah, you're really slippery. You should have felt your way here. I'm not buying that.
Or oh, you're a Pisces, so you must be an alcoholic.
Well, when Piscean energy deals with the Pisces addiction, once they go straight, they are like totally unbelievably straight. You know, it's either alcohol or God.
Yeah, that's me for you, huh?
Huh?
Well, that's me for you. Yeah.
Well, you know, I think that alcoholism and drug addiction and all that is the biggest one, this biggest spiritual test on the planet.
It is. It really is.
It's spirits. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's spirits, and it takes. Nobody can solve it for you. I mean, you can go to meetings, you can go to counselors, but you have to do it yourself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is, you know, if it was cancer or any HIV or any other disease, there would be so much compassion around it. The thing around alcoholism or drugs is the lack of compassion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you can just stop. Oh, you know, oh, why do you do that? Well, see, there's a lack of, and once we get compassion and love around it, I think cures will be a lot faster.
I think so. It's time. It's time. Are you there?
I'm right here. People keep calling in on this phone.
I know they do. I know they
and
do.
And I'm like, I'm like, okay, they know I'm doing this at this time, but they're continuing on. That was those noises, you know?
Yes.
And it sounds like I go off the air, so.
I know, but I just keep waiting, and a few seconds later, you're back.
Oh, okay. Okay. So anyway, that's...
And not only that, but Julian Assange's trial is being forecast live in the UK, and
mm-hmm.
the idea would be to keep him in Britain, which would keep him safe,
yes.
or send him to Switzerland, where the head, the president or whatever of Switzerland is friends with Karl Rove, and he'd be sent back to the United States where he would be tried for treason and murdered or killed or whatever. So
somebody heard me and did the same thing there. Okay.
I'm really hoping that he's kept safe in Britain. I really pray for that.
Yeah.
Because I'm really tired of all of this bullshit, and it's time
I think, Kate, you're going to have to get a lot more tired of it with Uranus and Aries, because I think what is happening in the universe right now is
uh-huh.
that things are coming up to the surface that were hidden for years and years and years.
Yes.
Political things and the Murdoch thing and all of it. I mean, you cannot clean out a boil or anything until you get all the infection out.
Yes.
So it's all coming up to the surface so that it can be cleansed. And that's what I think that's what we're going through now with these planets the way they are, the outer planets. And Pluto
yeah.
and Capricorn is just wreaking havoc on the political scene.
Mm-hmm.
And Uranus and Aries is like people are instantly exposed.
Yeah.
And it's like, whoa, you know? And of course Neptune and Pisces, that's, you know, it's its own sign, and mysterious things are going to emerge.
Well, I think what should also come out of the closet is the FDA and their ridiculous ability to crucify people, like Stanislav Brzezinski. I may have mentioned him. And then recently they put a poor Amish man in jail for selling raw milk. Yeah. Yeah.
And that's
so,
take a focus
yeah.
off the real point.
Well, the real point is that, you know, so many thousands and thousands of people have died over supposedly safe pharmaceutical drugs.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So let's get real.
Well, it's
let's
interesting.
Get real.
We're dealing with bloodroot here, which is a really amazing drug in the cancer field. And pharmaceutical companies are really fighting over that, and therefore they put down the help that it can be because they don't want it, you know, they don't want homeopathic medicine to really work. So
that's my point. I mean, to the fact that a person with cancer cannot do what they want to do and not take the toxic drugs that do not work is an abomination. And I think this is something that needs to be changed.
And I agree.
Yeah, we've come to the end of our program.
We have.
And we will fight on this one because it's worth fighting for. Okay, I love you. And
I love you.
Give my love to everybody. And I will talk to you very soon. We have to go to the grotto.
Bye, honey. Yes. Kate Loving Shank.
Are we planning to do that soon?
Yes, we are.
Okay,
we have
good.
Okay.
Love
all right,
you.
Goodbye, everybody. Love you. Bye.
Music for Mother and Child by Klaus D. Jensen. Here we go.